The following saint died not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus took her to heaven and hell and purgatory. She saw all of that. She led an incredible life of penance. And at the end, she reveals to us an unbelievable way to convert other people. The wisdom behind it is astounding. She is, as her name says, Saint Christina the Astonishing. We're going to talk about her life. I found a full version of it. We're going to go through it briefly so that you can be completely influenced and changed by this wonderful woman from the 1100s to the 1200s. We're going to get into that in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, I first heard about her and had read about her in the 10 books on purgatory, which gives a short synopsis, and then from Blessed Carlo Acutis in some of his summaries. But then I found the full version of her life, which is only about 25 pages. It's very short, but it gives a lot more detail that is difficult to find. Listen to this. So then the illustrious Virgin of Christ, Christina, was born in the town of St. Trond and Hesbe to parents of good repute. When her parents died, she was left with two older sisters. Thereupon, her sisters, desiring to pursue a religious way of life, decided that the elder sister should devote herself to prayer, the middle one tend to the house, and the younger sister, Christina, should watch over the flocks as they went to graze. As soon as this was done, Christ the Comforter did not forsake the one who was assigned the humbler and viler task. Nay, he grants to her the grace of inner sweetness, and he visited her often and made her privy to heavenly secrets. And yet she remained unknown to all, known to God alone, all the better known for being more secret. It happened then when her body grew weak from the inward practice of contemplation, and she departed this life. Her lifeless body was then placed on view, and she was greatly mourned by her friends and sisters. When morning came, she was carried to the church, and when an offering of masses was being made for her burial, her body suddenly stirred and rose upon the bier, and straightway she ascended upward like a bird to the rafters of the church. Then all who were present fled, save her oldest sister, who remained there in terror. Christina stayed motionless in the rafters until the end of Mass, and then, constrained by the priest and the sacrament, she was compelled to descend. For, as some say, the subtlety of her spirit abhorred the odor of human bodies. Then she returned home with her sisters and was given food to restore her strength. Afterward, her spiritual friends came to her and asked her to tell them what she had seen and experienced. As soon as I died, she said, ministers of light, who are angels of God, received my spirit, and they led me to a dark and horrible place that was filled with the souls of men. The torments that I saw in that place were so cruel and extreme that no tongue could suffice to describe them, and I saw there many departed whom I had known before in the flesh. Feeling great pity for these wretched souls, I asked what place this was. I was thinking that it was hell, and my guides answered me, this place is purgatory, where repentant souls suffer punishment for their sins in life. Then they led me to the torments of hell, and I recognized there too some who I had known when they were alive. Next I was brought to the throne of divine majesty in paradise, and when I saw the Lord rejoicing and congratulating me, I was happy beyond all measure, thinking that I would remain thereafter with the Lord forever. And the Lord immediately responded to my desire, truly, my dearest, he said, you shall abide here with me. But now I give you two choices. You may either remain now here with me, or you can return to your body, and there, through your mortal body, undergo the punishments of the immortal soul without any harm to the body, and by these punishments deliver all these souls which you pitied in purgatory. In this way, by the example of your life and penance, the living might be converted to me. Turn away from sin, and when all this is accomplished, you may at last return to me, richly blessed, with rewards in abundance. I answered without any hesitation that I chose to return under the condition that he had proposed. The Lord congratulated me for my answer and straightway bid that my soul be returned to its body. And behold how swift the angels are at the command of the Lord. For at the moment when the refrain, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, was first recited at the Mass, celebrated for me, my soul stood before the throne of the divine majesty. But when the Lamb of God was set the third time, I had been restored to my body by the swift angels. This was the manner of my departure and return, and I was granted new life for the reform of men. Now we're going to get into some of the incredible things that she began doing. She would flee in wondrous horror from the presence of men and took refuge in the wilderness in trees and atop towers or churches or other high places. They thought that she was possessed by demons. And after great effort, they finally captured her and bound her in iron chains. Then she suffered many punishments and afflictions, being especially distressed by the odor of humans. They must have smelled really bad at that time. One time, by the aid of God, the chains and fetters were loosed, and she escaped, fleeing to the remote forest of the wilderness, where she lived in the trees like the birds. And when she was in need of food, for though her body was of a most subtle nature, she could not live without nourishment, and was tormented by the sharpest hunger, she nevertheless chose not to return, but to remain alone with the Lord in the secluded wilderness. Later on, then Christina began to perform those acts for which she had been sent back by the Lord. She used to enter fiery ovens in which bread was about to be baked, and was tormented by the flames, just as one of us would be, so that she cried out horribly in pain. And yet when she emerged the oven, her body revealed no outer signs of injury. When ovens were not available, she would throw herself into a large fire in a person's house, or place only her hands and feet in it, and hold them there for so long that it was only by a divine miracle that they were not burned to ashes. She would also at times climb into cauldrons of boiling water that reached her chest or waist, depending on the size of the cauldron, and pour scalding water over the parts of her body that were not immersed, and shriek like a woman in labor. But when she emerged, there was no sign of injury. She did many such things. She would throw herself on wheels that were used to torture pirates. She would throw herself into thorns and brambles and allowed herself to be torn apart by dogs. And when she would clean off the blood, she would be miraculously healed. Things that really disturbed people. This is interesting. Listen to how she prayed. When she wanted to pray, she was compelled to retreat to the tops of trees or towers or other high places so that, isolated from others, she might find rest for her spirit. Moreover, when she was praying and the divine grace of contemplation descended upon her, she would curl all her limbs into a ball as if they were made of warm wax, so that her body was unrecognizable and seemed only a spherical form. Because of this and similar behavior, her sisters and friends were embarrassed a lot because men thought that she was full of demons. And so they met with a very strong and wicked man whom they paid to pursue and capture her and bind her in iron chains. And that wicked man pursued her through the wilderness and was unable to grab her with his hands. And when he was finally able to come within reach of her, he broke her shin bone with a club, carried her home. Later on, Jesus healed her miraculously of this. People were so disturbed by the penances that she did. The thing that we can learn here is that we should do penance for ourselves and for the souls in purgatory. And at least she's teaching us indirectly that it might be a good idea to take these penances a little bit further. That nowadays we've become so weak and cowardly, and we call extreme what is actually quite reasonable. That God allowed her to do extreme. This is extreme. So whatever we might do is barely enough. Just consider that. But it was so difficult for people to see her that they prayed for her to become more normal. Later on, she did. She became more like regular people in some of the penances that she would do. But listen to how God led her to convert other people. This is really profound. She frequently took the sacrament of the body and blood of the Lord in holy devotion, and especially on Sunday, and she received from it strength of body, she said, and the greatest joy of the spirit. She abandoned her possessions for the sake of Christ and what properly belonged to her by right of inheritance, and for food and drink she depended solely on the common alms that she begged for daily door to door, so that she might bear the sins of those on whose alms she fed. She used to say that the reason she was compelled by the Spirit of God to beg for alms from wicked men was that so through their offerings, they might become horrified of their sins and repent of their life. For she said that nothing so moves God to feel mercy for sinners than when sinners feel mercy for their neighbors. Whence that saying of a wise man, never could mercy, never could pity fail to find favor on the final day. And so that what we have said might be revealed by example, let us confirm it by a certain deed of Christina's. It happened one day that she was afflicted by God with an intolerable thirst, and she rushed at the table of a certain very wicked man who was dining in splendor, and when she asked him for something to drink, he was moved by an unwonted feeling of pity, and she was given a little wine to drink. Wherefore Christina said that contrary to the opinion of all who knew the man, he had been called in death to the pardon of penance and contrition. So think about what she's doing. She is giving wicked people an opportunity for charity by begging, and when they respond and they act charitably to her, she knows that that before God will obtain for them pardon. Isn't that genius? What a genius way to bring others to conversion, to bring sinful people, to give them an opportunity to do an act of charity so that God could then, at the time of judgment, have mercy on them. I mean, that is supernatural wisdom right there. She would supernaturally know if someone would go to hell or heaven, and she would greatly lament when they went to hell, doing all kinds of extreme penances, as we've already mentioned, and she would dance for joy when they entered heaven. She had the spirit of prophecy. She prophesied accurately a massacre, the apostasy of a nun who later converted, as well as the capture of Jerusalem in the Crusades, which were happening at that time. She also prophesied a great famine. Now let's talk about her death. At the end of her life, she ate very rarely and sparingly. She did not want to sit and talk with the sisters and religious as she had before, but after a small meal and short sleep, when it was not yet midnight, she would go out into the wilderness. Never in those days did anyone see a smile on her face. She was like one who had been driven mad by too much sorrow. She walked about praying and moaning and pounding her chest, and this was because, as is believed by some, the Lord revealed to her more than usual about the state of the world and the evil in it. There is one thing that she very often deplored with marvelous wailing, that almost the whole human race was corrupt in the spilling of seed. So this means that basically people were having contraceptive acts of sex. And for that reason, the wrath of God would soon fall with vengeance upon almost all of Christendom, perhaps the Black Plague. As the time approached when she would be held confined by the languor of death, she obtained such constant grace of contemplation that it was very troublesome to her to direct her mind elsewhere. At the end, then, retiring from all affairs, she kindly asked a certain nun of St. Catherine's named Beatrice to prepare in secret a bed for her in a chamber because the languor was imminent. When Beatrice readily did what she was asked, Christina lay down and was assailed by a worsening sickness, and when she had been confined by languor for 3 weeks, she asked to receive in communion the body of the Lord and the oil of unction. When this was done, this Beatrice, who I mentioned earlier, fell to her knees before her and asked that she inform her of certain matters before she departed life. And when Christina was silent, Beatrice, thinking that her thoughts were elsewhere, postponed the question. Leaving the chamber to perform some task, she left her in the meanwhile alone. Then soon after, Christina died, and Beatrice, who had been assisting her, because she wanted to know these certain things, implored Christina to come back to life. So she died, she implored her, and she prayed and prayed. Christina came back to life and said the following. Christina said this. Beatrice said this. O Christina, you were always obedient to me in life. I pray and beseech you now through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you loved in life with a burning desire, that you obey me now too. Since you now have the power through him with whom you are now joined to accomplish whatever you wish, return to life and tell me what I fervently asked you to reveal to me when you were alive. An astonishing thing, when Beatrice had shouted this into the dead woman's ear, Christina at once returned to her body and heaved a deep sigh, and with an anguished look upbraided Beatrice for calling her back. "Oh, Beatrice," she said, "why did you disturb me? Why did you call me back? I was at that very moment being led to the presence of Christ." In the meantime, the sisters of the convent had gathered around her, signing them with the sign of the cross and saying the accompanying words. She experienced death for a third time and died a third time, thus passed over into the eternal world without end. Saint Christina the Astonishing teaches us that we could never do enough penance for the souls in purgatory. They are suffering terribly. That we can convert wicked people by offering them opportunities for charity. Saint Christina leaves us with these two things, that we could never do enough penance for the souls in purgatory. And number two, this incredible way of converting others, especially the wicked, by humbling ourselves and providing them an opportunity for charity, and God in His mercy will see that charity and will grant them graces for conversion, especially at their judgment. Saint Christina the Astonishing, pray for us. My friends, if this has helped you in any way, please subscribe and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.